is dit van moi? I don't know what is it that the Lord has fully in mind, I don't know what God has fully in mind. I'm just being obedient. Because God is trying to accomplish something on the Wednesday night services. And it's not fully clear to me, and it doesn't have to be. I don't have to know anything or all things, and I don't have to understand it either. I was instructed. I've been thinking about talking passivity. This thing is on my pores. I want to talk about passivity. Because passivity can be such a damaging element in the life of a person. Passivity can actually open the door for demons to terrorize our lives. I've been craving to talk about this. Notwithstanding, the boss said, you know, hold your horses. I want you to go back to talk about the positive mind. And the title for our meditation tonight is Keeping a Positive Mind Through Hope. Now, my question to you tonight is, when you think about the word hope, what is the very first thing that comes to your mind? One thing, I don't want you to give me a theological definition, just plain and simple definition that a 5-year-old will understand. When you think about hope, what is the very first thing that comes to your mind?
Expectation.
Okay.
Assurance.
Huh?
Not giving up.
Okay. Assurance. Not giving up. Expectation. Anybody else?
Anticipation.
Very good. You guys are good. Anybody else want to think about anything different than this?
Peace of mind.
That's when you think about hope, the first thing that comes to your mind is peace of mind. Okay.
Trust.
Positive future.
Excitement. Okay. I went to the Hebrew language, and I could find at least significantly 4 words that speaks about hope. The first word is seber, S-E-B-E-R, but it has a sound, seber. And it is translated as expectation, positive expectation. So that's good. I continue to look. There's another word called tochelet. And tochelet also means positive expectation. Then there's another word in Hebrew called yachal, which means to wait patiently, to tarry, and trust while tarrying. Does it make sense? And then there's one more word that is used in today's Hebrew, very common, tikva. If you ask a Hebrew person today, give me the Hebrew word for hope, they're going to tell tikva. And tikva goes beyond an expectation. It goes beyond being patient, waiting, and tarrying. Tikva has more a connotation of awaiting for a favor that I do not deserve, which we would translate as grace. Are you with me here? These four words are major words. You still have three more words in Hebrew that denotes hope, but they are not as strong as these four words are. You may be thinking, well, okay, you made your point. What does hope has to do with having a positive mind? Let me start to say this. Having a positive mind in a positive situation is the easiest thing to do. It does not require faith. Are you with me? Anybody can be positive and have a positive mind when everything is going awesome, positive. The heathens do that. Tikva comes in when we find ourselves in an adverse situation, and yet we have the fiber to be expecting good things coming out of that negative situation. This is biblical hope. Are we still together here?
Yes.
When we are positive in a negative situation, it will show a genuine trust in God. And it will also denote a great level of spiritual maturity that will please God. Are we together? Are you all able to follow along with me? Brother Harry, I feel like going to the scripture here. Put up there, please, Hebrews 6, verse 19. Before I move anywhere, I want to show you something here. Hebrews 6, 19. And I have another scripture, then we go to the list I gave you. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Tikva, godly hope, will for sure brings us behind the veil where the Father is. Being hopeful when everything is going good is a piece of cake. Heathens do that. Divine hope will keep us going because when it is steadfast, when it's a sure hope, it will not only keep us going, it will bring us in the presence of God behind the veil. Although things are going on crazy around me, I have a steadfast trust in God that something good will come out of this. And then I hold fast to my God. End of story. We're still together, right? The problem is that few of us expect to receive anything amidst of a adverse situation. But I want to tell you today that in order for you to receive, you need to expect. You need to have tikva. You need to have hope. Are you all following what I'm trying to say tonight?
Yeah.
In other words, this hope that he's talking about here is an anchor for our souls. That steadfast hope, that sure hope, is an anchor for our soul. Something that we can cling to, hold on to. You with me so far? And that very hope will give us strength and keep us moving steadily in the times of difficulty. Therefore, I'm challenging you tonight, never stop hoping. And I'm talking about the godly hope. Are you with me so far? If you do, I am bold enough to say that you and I, will have a very miserable life when we stop hoping, having godly hope. Because that very hope is the anchor of our souls. That very hope, steadfast hope, trusting hope, expecting hope, is what will bring us into the presence of God. Somebody may say, well, preacher, I already have a miserable life right now. I said, it's because you have no hope. It's because you have no hope. So start hoping right now. Don't be afraid of hoping for that miracle that has not arrived yet. Are you with me so far? Nobody can promise you that things will always turn out exactly the way that you and I want it to turn. Are you with me here?
Yes.
Nobody can promise you that we will never be disappointed in life. But I'm challenging us tonight to look at things in God's way. Even if and whenever the disappointing times come, we can still have hope and be positive. I believe that in doing that, we will put ourselves in God's miracle-working realm. Tikva is an expectation of receiving a favor that I do not deserve. That is godly hope. So even if the situations are hard right now, and it's tough to have divine hope, we're going to hope for the best.
Amen.
We're going to believe that God will come through.
Amen.
And in order to place ourselves in that miracle realm where God is working, we've got to have a positive attitude. We've got to be expecting good things to happen. We've got to expect that the miracle will come through. In one way or the other.
Amen.
Listen to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. It's another scripture that is so sweet. Very little spoken of. I never heard anybody preach about that scripture. But this is a sweet scripture. Listen, read it with me. Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be. Tikva, and therefore, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Bless are all those who hope for him. Who hope, who wait for him. The word wait here is another word for hope. The word in there, I think it is yachal. Blessed are those who yachal Adonai. Folks, when we meditate on that scripture, I believe that it will begin to bring great hope in our hearts. It is as if God is saying that he's looking for someone to be gracious. Isn't that right? Therefore, the Lord will wait that he may be gracious to you. So what is he waiting upon? Us to develop that kind of hope, godly hope, that despite of the adverse situation, we know that God wants to be gracious to us. Are we together so far? So why has doesn't happen yet? I don't know. In order for God to be gracious to someone, that person cannot be someone with a sour attitude and a negative mind. Would you agree with me? So what you're saying? I'm saying that we must become someone who is expecting, looking and longing to be the recipient of a good God who wants to bestow His graciousness and His mercy and His justice upon our lives. You may be wondering, well, preacher, how do I go about this? I mean, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, sometimes it's so difficult. How do I go about this? I'll tell you this now, my beloved, and it may mess up your day today, and if it does, please bear with me. The more I think about this, as I'm preparing to talk about being a positive person, having a positive mind, I think that one of the greatest enemy of being a positive person is our tongue. Brother Harry, can you put up there, please, 1 Peter 3:10? One of the greatest deterrent of God's outpouring of His blessings is our tongue. You may say, boy, you're going all the way out there. Read it with me. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue. You may be thinking, whoa, do you really think that this thing matches? Yes, I do. Pay attention to the beginning. He who would love life and
see good days.
This is the opposite of being negative. Is that correct? In other words, if I want to see good days coming my way, I better change my way of seeing things. I better change my way of talking about things. I better change my way of speaking. Amen. Brothers, may I have the NLT here? I didn't check, but I'm curious. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life, and see many happy days. Are we together here?
Yes.
So I believe that one of the big deterrent of positive thinking and receiving the blessings of God is our tongues. If someone wants to enjoy life and see many happy days, hold on, tiger. Hold on what you're talking about life right now. And this is where divine hope kicks in. Are we together so far?
Yes.
I think the backslider translation must be even more exciting. I didn't check, but I want to see now. Whoever wants to embrace life and see the day fill up with good, here's what you do. Are we getting the point?
Yes.
I believe that one of the greatest enemies of positive thinking, divine hope, is our tongue. This verse plainly tells us that enjoying life and seeing good days and having a positive mind and a holy mouth are all linked together. And I'm here to say this. I don't know, I don't think that we have in our church negative people like this. In case we would,
let me give you a little word of advice.
No matter how negative one may be, or how long one have been negative that way, I am assured that we all can change.
How? When we came to Christ, we became a new creation. All things has passed away. All that negative stuff has passed away. Behold, everything becomes new.
Amen. Whatever happens in our lives, I'm challenging you, trust the Lord. Be positive. Don't give the devil any ground to be hanging around in your atmosphere. Instead, resist that impulse to be negative aggressively in the name of Jesus. This is the only way that we will live to see good days. Let me go back to the NLT again. I love that translation. The scripture says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Don't turn on to your neighbor and say, I pray that you will continue to have a positive mind and a positive lip. Here are some works of hope. When we have tikva, when we have sober, tochalet, or yachal, any one of those words, when we have hope, according to 1 Timothy 4, verse 9 and 10, hope will do this. Read it with me. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those. Brothers, let me do something here. Let me try the Never Inspired version. Let me keep on that version for a while. Will you guys? This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this, we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. So no matter how tough things may be looking like, no matter how hard things may be looking like, no matter how desperate, when we place our hope in God, and we're going to labor, we're going to strive to keep our hope in the living God, the Bible says that He will come and save every single man, especially those of us who believe. Yet, on the book of Psalms, chapter 39, verse 7, we are told that hope will eventually cause God to be in the lookout for us. Read it. But now, Lord, when we have hope, God will be on the lookout for us. Watch this. May I please have the King James Version? And now, Lord, what do I wait? My hope is in Thee. When we have our hope set in God, God will look up for us. God will hear us. You may say, well, preacher, you're kind of pushing on this one here. Okay, let's go to Psalm 71, verse 14. Watch this. Psalm 71, 14. But as for me, Why? Is it tough in life? Is it hard? Is it difficult? Does it look like impossible? While in that time of impossibility, of difficulty, of hardship, I'm going to praise you more and more, and I'm going to place my hope on you. You know, if it's already bad as it is, I'm going to hope more in God, and I'm going to double my praise. If nothing else, God's going to get some praise out of this. But I'm not going to be negative. Are you with me so far? When we go a little bit further in Psalms 131, verse 3, how long should I do this? I hear what you say. Oh, Israel. For a few days, huh? So what you're saying? Is it tough? Yes. Is it hard? Yes. Does it look impossible? Yes. I'll put my hope in God. And I'm going to praise Him more and more. For how long I got to do this? Watch this. May I have the New Living Translation here? Oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. This is the kind of hope that will please God. How? Anybody can believe when things is going good. Anybody can be positive when all is flowers. Tough time come, I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to double my praise even when I don't feel like singing. I'm still singing. Huh? And you watch what God will do. In the book of Acts, we read that hope in God brought joy to the heart and health to the body. Acts 2, 26 and 27. Watch this. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices. Are you with me here? Hardship comes, tough time comes, impossibility comes. Whatever, let them come. When they come, my heart is glad and my tongue will rejoice. My body will live in hope. Because we know in whom we have believed. You know, this kind of hope, when we stop and have tikva, godly hope, grace hope, it will help us to ponder on the love of God instead of being negative. Lamentations 3, 21 and 22 says the following. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. What is it that causes this man to have hope? What is it that causes him to have hope when he calls it to mind? Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for His compassion never fails. When I stop being negative because things didn't quite go as I wish it would have gone, stop, ponder, call to mind. The Lord's great love, the Lord's great love are the cause that I'm not consumed. And His compassions never fail. Therefore, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to stick with my God. I'm going to stick with my hope. I'm going to stick with my faith. Did you know that God is delighted when you and I hope in Him? Did you know that? Listen to Psalms 147, 11. Read it with me. The Lord
delights those who fear Him, who live their hopes in the land of the
So when our hope is in God, when our faith, our trust in God, it says that it delights Him. You know, again, let's go back to the same thing. What they used to be negative. Are you with me here? It seems like certain people, they wake up in the morning, they're going to, what am I going to be negative about today? My goodness, they can never see something positive. One time we had a group of two or three in church. I am a young lad, and for some reason, everywhere where I go, in America, because I have, they see the last name Santos, first thing they think, that's a dumb, stupid Mexican, or a dumb, stupid Spanish. And they come with the most ridiculous and stupid, absurd comments. Now, early on, here's this kid, he's 19 years old, 20 years old, and the troublemakers would have come all the time. And they never had something positive to say. We could have had the most glorious service. They would find something negative. So one day I got fed up. We had had a great service. 17 people came to faith in Jesus Christ in a weekend on the land of Mary, where nobody wants to know about being a Protestant. 17 souls. That was a great joy. And the same 3-4, well, pastors, I don't want to hear it. Excuse me, I don't want to hear it. But I don't want to hear it. If it is not positive, keep it for yourself. One of them said, oh my God, what got into this kid? I said, this kid is fed up with your negativism. So from this point forth, if you don't have something positive to say, shut up. Oh my God. Oh my God. They left church. And then they wrote a letter to the dean of the school. Take Paul from here. So I'm calling the principal's office. All right. I was already expecting. What did you tell the people? I said, I told the negative-minded people to shut up. You didn't. I sure did. Why would you do that? Because everything that we do is negative. They always have the final answer. They have the bad idea. And yet, when you put them in charge, garbage. I'm very thankful that my teacher went along and said, well, I hope that you are right. Or you will be failed at the end of the year. Is that fair enough? I want you to go and apologize to them. No, I'm not. Then you're going to have to kick me out of school. And this was a big buzz. So finally, when I'm in front of the council, the Sanhedrin got together, and they came to fry me. And I was just plain honest. I said, I'm sorry. I've always been a positive man. But this crowd, it's not even the crowd, it's those three bozos. There's one that always come and go. These people can't see nothing positive. Nothing positive in the church. They are always criticizing. And none of them had the audacity to call me a kid. They look at each other and they kind of want to smile, want to laugh. So go ahead and laugh. Let the works speak for itself. Amen. They shut up. Amen. All right, we'll talk to you about that later. Till this day, 40 years is gone. Never heard about it again. Well, the negative-minded people saw that they had no consolation. They went to another church. There was a Pentecostal church, and that extreme Pentecostal type of church where the women has to have their skirt or dress is supposed to be a foot and a half below their knees, long sleeve, white gloves, something on the head. They didn't last 10 minutes. They came back. After service, they said, we want to talk to you. I said, I don't want to hear it.
We're not going to say nothing negative. All right. We think that we deserve an apology. You want to apologize to me? No, you're supposed to apologize to us. Said why? You are always negative. I deserve an apology. You call me a kid. Well, you're acting like one. So then we're going to go to the same place. You see, did you hear what you just said? I'm sorry. And it took some time. But 6 months later, when I was getting ready to leave, we had 120 people in that little new congregation. They gave me a hug. They finally asked for forgiveness, but one of them pinched me. Now we're good. You know, folks, the Lord delights Himself in people who hope in Him, in people that have a positive mind, a positive attitude. I can tell you right now that my God is not a negative God. I can tell you that. Did you know that people that are positive avoid and have hope in God? They avoid depression just by having hope in God. Psalms 42:5 tells us this. Watch this. Psalms 42:5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And my God. When we place our hope in God, tikva, grace, hope, expecting hope, we will fight depression. Downcast, depression. Inner disturbance can be fought through our hope in God. Why? Because we know that the one that we hope upon is bigger than anything else. Listen to Romans 15:13. I love that scripture. Read it with me. May the God of your God is a God of hope.
Yes, He is.
And therefore, as a child of the God of hope, we supposed to have tikva, godly hope. And when that godly hope is within us, we will be filled with joy and peace, no matter how hard the circumstances may be in our lives. Hope in God can keep us in a positive mode, positive mind, because it will strengthen our hearts. Psalms 31:24 says the following words. Psalms 31:24. Be strong. When we have that hope in God, we have the strength to carry on. It will gladden our hearts. May I have the New King James on this one here? I was reading another translation. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Tikva, that kind of hope will strengthen our hearts. And when our hearts are strengthened with the hope of God, there is no way that negativism can sit. Psalms 33, verse 18, has something very interesting. But the eyes of the Lord. So what you're saying? When my hope is in God and I'm waiting on Him, you keep an eye on me.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, God wants to keep an eye on you.
God wants to me.
Keep hope.
Keep hope.
And finally, Psalms 146, verse 5, is a nice way to end up. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Having hope is a blessed feature in our lives.
Amen.
Having hope in the God of Israel will always put us in the top. We will always come out ahead. Because we know that the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, is good for the money. He is good for his promise. So what you're saying, preacher, let's stop being negative. Let's stop having the negative mind, the negative attitude. Let's stop having the negative attitude. Because this is not what God is looking for in us. People who have a positive mind towards God, who hold fast to the hope in their God, will never be disappointed.
Amen.
Never, ever, ever,
amen,
ever. Keep your hope alive.
Amen.
Have a positive mind.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.